Our responsive reading is Psalms 22, 1 through 15, found on page 752 and 3. And it goes on a little longer, but we will stop at verse 15. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Why are you so far from me, from the word of my mouth?
Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer.
And by night, but find no rest.
Yet you, the praise of Israel, have enthroned in holiness.
In you are forbearers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them.
To you they cried and were saved.
In you they trusted and were not disappointed.
But I am a worm and not a human.
Scorned by others, despised by the people.
All who seek me mock at me.
They make mouths at me. They wag their heads.
He committed his cause to the Lord. Let the Lord deliver him. Let the Lord rescue him, for the Lord delights in him.
Yet it was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe upon my mother's breast.
Upon you I was cast from my birth, and since my mother bore me, you have been my God.
Do not be far from me, for trouble is near.
Many bulls encompassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan surrounded me.
They opened wide their mouths at me, like a raging and roaring lion.
I am poured out like water,
and all my bones are out of joint.
My heart is like wax.
It is not within my breast.
My mouth is dried up like a porch herd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws.
You lay me in the dust of death.
Our Hebrew Bible lesson this morning comes from the book of Job, chapter 23, verses 1 through 9 and 16 through 17. Then Job answered, "Today also my complaint is bitter. His hand is heavy despite my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his dwelling. I would lay my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would learn what he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me in the greatness of his power? No, but he would give heed to me. There an upright person could reason with him, and I should be acquitted forever by my judge. If I go forward, he is not there, or backward, I cannot perceive him. On the left, he hides, and I cannot behold him. I turn to the right, but I cannot see him. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. If only I could vanish in darkness, and thick darkness would cover my face." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson for today comes from the book of the letter of Paul to the Hebrews. Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. You can find this on 206 in the Pew Bible in the New Testament. Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, But we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. What I hope to be a familiar story for you. You can find it on page 43 in the New Testament of your Pew Bible. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your mother and father." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words, but Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Last Sunday, World Communion Sunday, was the beginning of our stewardship emphasis. So for a total of 6 weeks, we'll be talking about how you can make a financial commitment to God and to our church's ministries. On November 18th, Thanksgiving Sunday and Commitment Sunday, I will ask you to bring in your commitment card and offer it back to God, and to tell your church leadership how much to expect for next year's budget. Well, during this time, I'll be preaching a shorter sermon than usual so that several of your leaders can take the opportunity to talk to us all about their experiences in giving back to God. So today, Mark Doctor will share his testimony. And in the following weeks, we'll also hear from Bill Mitchell and from Charlie Morrell. As always today, I ask you today to consider what it is that God is saying to us through these scripture lessons. When you think about the whole Bible, the Lord is clear and direct about what is expected of God's people when it comes to giving money to the church. The Bible tells us that God expects a tithe, that is 10% of what we have. The Bible talks about first fruits. This was the first of the harvest that came off the top. For each of us, God asks you to give your first fruits. 10% back to God's ministries in the church. It is simple and clear. 10%. I want you to listen again and pay attention to the words from Hebrews. Indeed, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. God's Word is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before God, no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. The way you spend your money, God's money, says a lot about your values. It says a lot about what you hold to be the most important things in your life. I shared a truth with you in my message from September 30th, and that is this: God is the most important person in your life. The way you spend your money should reflect this truth. Maybe, if you're like me, you feel like the rich man who spoke to Jesus in our gospel lesson from Mark. He ran up to Jesus and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Scripture tells us Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me." Well, when the rich man heard this, he was shocked and he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. He had a lot of stuff. When Jesus then addressed his 12 followers, he used that great and probably familiar line, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals, it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." Then Peter began to say to him, "Look, we've left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, with fields, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." I get it. These scripture lessons may well be hard to accept, and they require that you spend some time, a lot of time, in thought and prayer. But let me boil this message down into several simple points of absolute truth. God is asking you to give 10% of your money back to the ministries of the church. God knows your heart and your mind and your soul. God fully understands your financial situation, and yet God asks for this commitment of faith. It may be tough, but it is doable. For God, all things are possible. My sisters and brothers, let it be so for you. Amen.